The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the SB Nation NFL Show. I'm RJ Ochoa. It's Monday, January 3rd, 2000. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22. That's right, baby. This is the first SB Nation NFL Show of the new year, and a reminder that this show is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That's code SBNNFL. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. It is the Sunday late night wrap-up, and I am RJ Ochoa. I am not Rob Stats Guerrera, so I will apologize now for making this all messy, all clunky, but a lot more fun. I love you, Stats. We'll see you on the Oddcast and the Look Ahead with yours truly. You'll see me later, actually, today, by the way, on Monday Football Monday with Pete Sweeney as we tie a bow without Monday Night Football, of course, on Week 17. And I'm talking the new school Week 17, not the old school one. You know, back in my day, Johnny, Week 17 was the last week of the regular season. We didn't have any of this fancy schmancy Week 18 business. I don't know when I became British, assuming that's what the accent is, but the penultimate week of the regular season is just about in the books for the National Football League. We do have Monday Night Football tonight. Of course, the Cleveland Browns have been eliminated from playoff contention, so they will go out for what will likely be Ben Roethlisberger's last game at Heinz Field, at least as a Steeler, with nothing really to play for. But nobody cares about that game because that hasn't happened yet. Let's talk about everything that went down on Sunday. Hope your fantasy seasons ended the way you wanted them to. Hope your New Year's went the way you wanted it to go. Hope you're starting the year off right. Of course you are. You're here with me. So let's begin. The Los Angeles Rams were victorious thanks to an incredible fourth quarter. They outscored the Baltimore Ravens 13-3. Tyler Huntley gave it his best effort, but the Rams squeaking out a W, 20-19, the final score. The Ravens, we've talked about this a lot on the NFL show. It's just too much. I mean, it really just is too much for them. Mark Andrews, a perfect 6 catches on 6 targets, 89 yards. I mentioned Tyler Huntley had 6 carries for 54 yards, 20 of 32 passing for 197 yards, and an interception. Matthew Stafford did rebound rather well, I'd suppose, I would say, on the other side of the ball. 26 of 35, 309 yards, 2 touchdowns, but the 2 interceptions. Meanwhile, Cooper Kupp continues his quest for the NFL's Triple Crown. 6 catches, 95 yards, and a score. Odell Beckham Jr. did have a touchdown in this game as well. We had not one, not two, not three, but 4 Justin Tucker field goals for the Ravens, and it ultimately, again, just wasn't enough. It was a big win for the Rams. If you were watching in the noon window, it kind of felt like they were going to lose this one. But they ultimately held on, and the Rams actually ended the day as the number 2 seed in the NFC. We will get to that. The Baltimore Ravens, by the way, not officially eliminated from playoff contention yet, but look, it's not going well. It's not looking well. All right. We hope the best for you, Baltimore, but it just wasn't enough on this particular day. Let's go now to where they circle the wagons. The Buffalo Bills winning 29-15 against Matt Ryan, who actually got called for a taunting penalty after making this game closer than it, you know, ultimately kind of wound up being. But the Falcons falconed because that's the Falcon way. Matt Ryan, 13 of 23 for only 197 yards. Meanwhile, Kyle Pitts, 2 catches for 69 yards. Nice, I know. But the impressive thing was on the other end of things. Josh Allen, 11 of 26, only 120 yards, did have 3 interceptions. There was some snow on the ground. It was a winter wonderland, so to speak. Stephon Diggs did chip in, 5 catches, 52 yards, but the game was kind of won on the ground for the Bills. Josh Allen, as he has been as of late, certainly carried the ball a ton. 15 times, 81 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground, but he was not the only Buffalo Bill to score twice with his legs. Devin Singletary, shout out to my fantasy team, 23 carries, 110, 2 touchdowns, a long run of 20 on the afternoon. The Buffalo Bills continue their winning ways. Are they back? Are we willing to say the Bills are back? I mean, the Bills are looking good. They are not AFC East champions as of late, but they did clinch a playoff berth on Sunday. They are the 4 seed in the AFC as of now, on their tail, whatever the case may be. The New England Patriots, we'll get to them. You know what? Let's just go ahead. Let's just do it. Let's get to the New England Patriots. Let's get this game out of the way because it was ugly. I mean, this was gross. The Patriots hung a 50 burger on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Goodness gracious. 50-10, the final score. Damian Harris had 2 touchdowns, as did Ramondre Stevenson. Mac Jones, 22 of 30, 227 yards, 3 touchdowns. Just kind of a perfect game for the Patriots in every sense. Brian Hoyer got involved late in mop-up duty. It was total and utter domination. I know that the score is 50-10. Like, that looks like the bigger, you know, kind of, whoa, that really happened. But it was 41-3 at one point in the third quarter. That's when it really just kind of felt embarrassing to me. Trevor Lawrence continued, unfortunately, his rough rookie year, 17 of 27, 193 yards, 1 touchdown, and 3 interceptions. So again, you know, the Bills have not clinched the AFC East as of yet. The Patriots technically have life in that, but the Patriots, like the Bills, did clinch a playoff berth with this win. They are currently the top wild card in the conference. We'll go over the way the playoffs kind of look in both the AFC and the NFC as soon as we're done through here. But, you know, don't rush me, all right? I don't get to do these Sunday late night wrap-ups a lot, all right? So I'm going to take my moment, and I'm going to enjoy it. All right, we've talked Rams-Ravens. We've talked Bills-Falcons. We've talked Patriots-Jaguars, and I'm driving this ship. So where do we want to go next? Let's get this out of the way. The New York Giants. I mean, I just... By the way, if you haven't yet, listen to the NFC East mixtape with myself, Brandon Lee Gowden. You can listen on the blog and the boys, Bleeding Green Nation, Big Blue View, or Hogs Haven Podcast Networks. We recap the NFC East every single week. And goodness gracious, the New York Giants, all right, the New York Giants had negative 10. I'm not making this up. I'm not being harsh. I'm not just a Cowboys guy here. They had negative 10 net passing yards. Negative, as in the not positive thing, as in literally worse than zero. This was a disastrous performance for the New York Giants. A week after they, by the way, doubled down on Joe Judge as their head coach, Saquon Barkley did top 100 yards, so big win for a certain sector of the G-men supporters. Mike Glennon, this is the only person to attempt a pass for the New York Giants in an NFL game on Sunday. In the year 2022. Here we go. 4 of 11. 24 yards. 2 interceptions. Now, this wasn't like, you know, the Bills-Patriots Monday night game where it was like wind all over the place. This was not, I mean, like, yeah, I'm not built for the cold personally, but this was like a normal kind of January NFL game. Again, there were 4 completions in this game. 1 went to Evan Ingram for 12 yards. Devontae Booker was the leading receiver on the Giants from a reception standpoint with 2 catches for 0 yards. Just think about that. Andy Dalton did start this game for the Chicago Bears, finished 18 of 35, 173 yards, a touchdown and an interception. David Montgomery, Monty might have won you your fantasy league, 22 carries, 64 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the ground. Nice to see 29-3, the final score. The Bears and Giants, this was one of 2 games actually on Sunday, both in the NFC that featured teams rather that were fully, completely, totally, unequivocally eliminated from playoff contention. So yikes. It does seem all the Sunday morning reports like Matt Nagy is indeed on his way out. Whoever takes over that job, best of luck. You got Justin Fields. Let's go to Tennessee, where the Titans knocked out the Miami Dolphins and literally knocked them out. The Miami Dolphins, despite entering this game on a 7-game winning streak. Like, think about this. The Miami Dolphins just had their 7-game winning streak broken, and in the process of it being broken, were mathematically eliminated from playoff contention. That's kind of crazy to me. I mean, I don't know if you find that crazy, but the Titans won 34-3. The currently number one seed in the AFC Tennessee Titans. Oh yeah, I can't wait to hear Pete Sweeney's thoughts on this. The Titans at 11-5 now. The Dolphins fall to 8-8 with the loss. Dante Foreman, 26 carries, 132 yards, a touchdown. Obviously, Ryan Tannehill, 13 of 18, just a nice efficient day at the office for him. 120 yards, two touchdowns. AJ Brown, two catches, 41 yards. Just a simple day for the Titans. A simple day. That's kind of what gets it done for them sometimes. So good to see the Titans move on. We will see if they lock up the one seed in the AFC. All they have to do is beat the Houston Texans in week 18 and believe the Titans. It is much easier said than done. All right. They certainly know that from personal experience. All right. So where do we want to go? Let's go. Let's get some juice in here. Right? Let's get some juice. I mentioned Pete Sweeney. The Kansas City Chiefs are no longer the top seed in the AFC due to a 34-31 loss to mighty Joe Young. I wish his last name was Young, but it's actually Burrow. The Bengals clinched the AFC North. By the way, the Titans did clinch the AFC South, in case you didn't catch that. You didn't catch it because I didn't say it. That's on me. Like I said, I don't do this all the time. But the AFC North champion Cincinnati Bengals won 34-31. The last possession in this game was crazy. I mean, the Bengals were down on the goal line. They thought they scored. There was a penalty. They thought they scored again. There was another penalty. It was crazy. Joe Burrow looked like he got hurt, but ultimately seems like he's going to be okay. The Bengals won on an Evan McPherson 20-yard field goal to ultimately clinch it and again clinch the division for them for the first time since 2015. Joe Mixon, 12 carries, 46 yards. Joe Burrow had 5 carries for 10 yards. No big deal. Joe Burrow, 30 of 39. Check this out, for 446 passing yards, 4 touchdowns through the air, and you know my man, Ja'Marr Chase, who was confused about the lack of stripes on the balls way back when. Nobody cares. Ja'Marr Chase, put him in the Hall of Fame. 12 targets, only 11 catches. Ja'Marr, what are you doing, man? You dropped the, you know, go 12 for 12. But not only did he have 11 catches, here we go, 266 yards for Ja'Marr Chase, and 3 touchdowns. Man alive, this dude is insane. Goodness gracious, the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be so much fun to watch in the playoffs. They are currently the 3 seed in the AFC playoff picture, only behind the number 1 seed Tennessee Titans and the team that they just beat, the Kansas City Chiefs. Meanwhile, KC, Patrick Mahomes, 26 of 35, 259 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mecole Hardman, 1 catch, 53 yards. That was kind of the big moment for him. Tyreek Hill's kind of had a weird year, in a lot of ways. But Travis Kelce had a touchdown himself. Just wasn't enough. I mean, you know, Chiefs just ran into an elite offense in the Cincinnati Bengals. What a weird sentence to say. So congratulations to the AFC North champion Cincinnati Bengals. Let's go to another AFC playoff picture race or moment or game. Or I don't know. I'm Drew Stepp. I've had a diet root beer before I started recording this, so let's party. The Indianapolis Colts were hosting the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Colts have been really interesting. I haven't seen Hard Knocks myself. Been a little bit too busy, but Colts have been kind of cute. Now, Jonathan Taylor, 20 carries, 108 yards, a touchdown going for his own levels of statistical accomplishments this season. Carson Wentz did wind up playing in this game, obviously was a bit of a question mark early on. 16 of 27, 148 through the air and a touchdown, but it was Derek Carr who went 24 of 31 for 255 yards and a touchdown. 2 interceptions, don't worry about it. Josh Jacobs, 16 carries, 63 yards and a touchdown. Hunter Renfrow had himself a big day, including a big touchdown that was actually called back at the very end. No harm, no foul. Daniel Carlson kicked a 33-yard field goal that wound up being the game winner. Vegas now in a position to win and get into the playoffs if most logical things fall the right way. We'll get to the week 18 schedule as well in just a little bit. But the Raiders and Colts both now 9-7. Indianapolis, the 6th seed in the AFC, the Raiders on the outside with the Los Angeles Chargers having that 3rd wild card at the moment. Like I said, we will get to the week 18 schedule, but the Indianapolis Colts have not clinched a playoff berth yet. There are only 5 tickets in the AFC that have been punched, and so the wild card's really up for grabs outside of the loser of the AFC East. Now, speaking of the AFC East, let's go to some people who know a thing or two about it. Look at that natural segue by me. Great job, RJ.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't even know how we're going to do this. We're victorious over the New York Jets. 28-24, the final score. Michael Carter, 3 carries, 54 yards. Great start to the game. Left with a concussion. Not great. Zach Wilson, 19 of 33, 234 yards, a touchdown. The Jets were basically winning this game for most of it. They took a 7-0 lead. Then it was 7-7, 14-7 lead. Then it was 14-10, 17-10 Jets lead, 24-10. At one point in the third quarter, the New York Jets were up 24-10 on Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then all hell broke loose. I cannot believe that what I'm about to tell you actually happened. All right, Antonio Brown, who had recently returned from a suspension related to a fake vaccination card, blamed the drama, if you want to call it that, on the media. Antonio Brown, in the middle of this game, true story here, took off his uniform, left it there, kind of threw pieces into the crowd, and just left. Just, like, left. Waved goodbye to MetLife Stadium and left the Buccaneers. Literally quit the team. All right, Vontae Davis, you know, we owe you an apology. All right, because this was unreal. I mean, Antonio Brown has obviously had it's been a bit of an experience for the last couple of years, needless to say, ever since being traded away from the Pittsburgh Steelers, or obviously his final, you know, seasons in Pittsburgh were certainly very different. But Antonio Brown seemingly is done in the NFL. Tom Brady has obviously spoken up for him several times. There was the story about, you know, Antonio living with Tom Brady. Bruce Arians, once upon a time, said that Antonio Brown would never be a Buccaneer. Bruce Arians also, you know, last week kind of welcomed Antonio Brown back. And Bruce Arians, after this game, said that he did not want to talk about Antonio Brown because he is no longer a Buck. So we'll see what Antonio Brown's future holds. But the Buccaneers did win this game despite Antonio Brown literally quitting their team in the middle of it. So 28-24, the Buccaneers are now in a position to potentially be one of the top three seeds in the NFC. They do still trail the Green Bay Packers and the Los Angeles Rams, but the Cowboys no longer an issue for them, which, oh, man, I can't believe we have to get to that too. But let's move on. All right. The Philadelphia Eagles clinched a playoff berth thanks to a few different things, but one of them involved a win over the Washington football team. 20-16 was the final score. Boston Scott, 14 carries, 47 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jalen Hurts, 17 of 26, 214 yards passing. Meanwhile, Taylor Heinicke, 27 of 36, 247 yards and an interception. Terry McLaurin did have a respectable day, 7 catches, 61 yards. This game really just, you know, wasn't that... I mean, it was just whatever. I mean, this was a classic NFC East game. The most controversial thing to happen in this game, honestly, was that you may have been paying attention to the bench situation in the NFC East. The Philadelphia Eagles, visiting the Washington football team in this game, brought their own benches, like the Dallas Cowboys did about a month ago. The reason the Cowboys did was because they heard from the Seattle Seahawks, who were in Washington, or rather D.C., on Monday Night Football, that they're not great, that Washington's benches for the visiting team suck from, like, a heating perspective. You know, big surprise, the worst stadium in the NFL has terrible equipment for visiting teams. In fact, the equipment in this stadium, in fact, the stadium itself is so not great, not of high quality for Washington and FedEx Field, that as Jalen Hurts was walking off the field into the tunnel, half of the tunnel literally collapsed and almost collapsed onto him. So very interesting situation. Washington falls to 6-10, Philadelphia 9-7, and again headed to the playoffs. All right, that ties a bow on the noon games from the afternoon or the day or the week, whatever. Now time to talk about the afternoon, which, let's get it out of the way. I don't want to do this, but the Dallas Cowboys were in position. They knew that a win would keep them in the driver's seat for the 2 seed in the NFC and technically keep their hopes alive for the top overall seed. However, the Cowboys laid an egg. I have said on many a show that the Arizona Cardinals are frauds. Well, they are, but the Cowboys were bigger frauds on Sunday afternoon. 25-22, the final score. Kyler Murray is undefeated in AT&T Stadium at all levels of football, high school, college, and the pros. And he had himself a nice day. 263 yards, 2 touchdowns, did chip in 44 yards on the ground. Chase Edmonds, 18 carries, 53 yards with James Conner not playing in this game. And that's the thing. Arizona had a lot of players dealing with injuries and COVID issues. Cowboys were relatively healthy and just couldn't get it done. Michael Gallup unfortunately caught a touchdown at the very end of the first half for the Cowboys. And Jerry Jones said afterwards that the team fears it is a torn ACL. Michael Gallup set to be a free agent this offseason. So we will definitely keep you updated at bloggingtheboys.com what his future holds. We are obviously rooting for a recovery for him as soon as possible, but just terrible news. Zeke Elliott, 9 carries for 16 yards. Tony Pollard, 3 carries for 9 yards. But the duo did top 1,000 yards individually, so the Cowboys do have two 1,000-yard rushers. Just a really flat game from the Cowboys, and that's coming from the Cowboys guy. So really not cool. 25-22, the Arizona Cardinals now 11-5 and not out of the picture in the NFC West yet. In fact, the NFC West is the only division in the NFC that has not been locked up, but it does appear as if the Rams are going to win it, although we'll see what happens because the Cardinals still in contention. The Cardinals have a Week 18 matchup against the Seattle Seahawks, who also dropped a 50-burger on Sunday. In fact, they dropped a 51-burger, so they kind of did the whole thing like Price is Right rules, like the Patriots are like, we bet 50, and the Seahawks are like, we bet 51. 51-29 between the Seahawks and the Lions. Seattle improves to 6-10. Detroit falls to 2-13-1. This was the other game in the NFC I told you about that featured two teams that were already mathematically eliminated from playoff contention. This was very likely the last home game in Seattle. At the very least, it featured Pete Carroll as the Seahawks head coach and Russell Wilson as the team's quarterback. Now, it's possible, highly possible, at least one of them is gone next season. Maybe even both of them are gone. We have no idea what the future holds for the Seattle Seahawks, but it was a nice going away party at the very least for this era of Seahawks football offensively. Russell Wilson, 20 of 29, 236 yards, 4 touchdowns, 3 of which finally went to DK Metcalf, who had 6 carries for 63 yards, half of them obviously being scores. Rashad Penny, 25 carries, 170 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the ground. It was just total, complete offensive domination showcasing by the Seahawks, and that's really the word I would use. This was Russell Wilson's, hey, trade for me. Yeah. Big Blue, let's go. Joe Judge, let's do it. You know, that's a terrible Russell Wilson impersonation, but either way, great win for the Seahawks. Lions, you know, great job. Great job trying. Another team that tried really hard, the Houston Texans, who lost to the San Francisco Niners. Goodness gracious. San Francisco 49ers, 23-7. San Francisco is likely going to be the sixth seed in the NFC. This win obviously goes a long way towards helping that cause, but they have not clinched a playoff berth as of yet. In fact, 6 teams have clinched a playoff berth in the NFC. Ironically, the Niners currently hold the sixth seed in the NFC, but they have not clinched their playoff berth as of yet. Things could shake a particular way that see the New Orleans Saints take that spot when the regular season is over, but again, very likely that San Francisco takes that spot, but we'll see. 23-7, the Texans fall to 4-12. Davis Mills and co. obviously had a great game last week with the win over the Los Angeles Chargers. Davis Mills, 21 of 32 for 163 yards, a touchdown, and an interception in this one. Elijah Mitchell, 21 carries, back obviously off the injury, 119 yards. This was a start for Trey Lance. Jimmy Garoppolo did not play, and the rookie was fine, 16 of 23, 249 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. So we'll see what the future holds for Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan, how the things are going to shake out there if and when the Niners do clinch a playoff spot. So we will see. That's what "we will see" means. It means we will see. Let's go to New Orleans, where the Saints beat the Panthers 18-10. You don't see that score a lot. Taysom Hill, you know, nice day. Sam Darnold. We had to watch Taysom Hill and Sam Darnold. Like, who's getting up for this? Chuba Hubbard did have a touchdown on the ground, 55 yards to go along with that. Taysom Hill was the Saints' leading rusher. The Panthers fell to 5-11, rather. Excuse me. I don't know how Jay-Z feels about this. Matt Rhule can fill us in later. But the Saints get a win, keep themselves alive. We will see how their season ultimately ends. They will play the Atlanta Falcons next week. But Saints hanging on by a thread, but the Panthers have been done for a very long time. Let's go to an AFC West matchup that took place on Sunday. I said last week that I, out of principle, was no longer going to take the Los Angeles Chargers, and I don't regret that, even though the Chargers won. 34-13, the final score. Drew Lock had some issues in this game, ultimately finished 18 of 25 for 245 yards and a touchdown. The Broncos, by the way, officially eliminated from playoff contention. They currently sit at 7-9. It remains to be seen. Saturday Goodness gracious, RJ, get it together. Sunday morning's reports indicated that the Broncos might move on from Vic Fangio. We just do not know. But missing the playoffs again is likely not going to help his case. The Chargers, though, do have life. 9-7 now. Austin Eckler back 58 yards off 16 carries for a touchdown. Justin Herbert, an efficient 22 of 31. Not really, but 237 yards and two touchdowns. One to Mike Williams, one to Keenan Allen. So a nice duo scoring there. This was pretty well in hand. I mean, it was 7-0, 10-0, 17-0, 17-3, 20-3, 20-6. Hey, nothing like kicking a field goal when you're down by 17 points. 27-6, 34-6. I mean, this was all Chargers. I mean, and you kind of, you know, without Teddy Bridgewater, this Broncos team just isn't enough. So we'll see you next year, Denver, but good luck against the Chiefs in the regular season finale. We'll get there too. Last game before we kind of tie a bow on everything, how things stand, entering the playoffs, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. Sunday Night Football, you know that Kirk Cousins did not play after testing positive for COVID-19 entering the weekend. The Green Bay Packers officially clinched the number one seed in the NFC, which means they have 2 weeks off until the next game of significance for them. Will it be a divisional round matchup against Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys? I don't know. I want the theater of it, but 37-10, the final score. Just really not a great day for Sean Mannion and Coach. Sean was fine. Kellen Mond did come into this game late, threw three passes, completed 5 yards, and it looked like he was going to come in. This was, I mean, very late in the game if you missed it. So he comes in, you know, Vikings punt, get the ball back, and you're thinking, okay, here's Kellen Mond to kind of really just, you know, finish this off. He did not come back out. It was Sean Mannion, and after the game, Mike Zimmer was asked if he wanted to see more of Kellen Mond in the regular season finale, because the Vikings are now officially eliminated from playoff contention and they will be playing the Chicago Bears next week. And he said, no, I'm good. And he was asked why not. He said, I see him every day. So, yeah, maybe a weird thing to do, take Kellen Mond with your second round pick if you kind of hate him, Mike Zimmer. We'll see what his job status is in a couple of weeks as well. Man, the Packers are just perfect. Aaron Rodgers, 29 of 38, 288 yards, two touchdowns. Jordan Love did get in the game late in mop-up duty, 2 of 4, 19 yards. Aaron Jones had 76 yards. A.J. Dillon had 63 and had the two touchdowns on the ground. Both Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard caught a touchdown for the Packers. They improved to 13-3, which is the record that Matt LaFleur's Packers have had in each of his previous two seasons. So we will see if they get a 14th win, obviously, this year. But they are insane. They are just an insane, efficient machine under Matt LaFleur. He's coach of the year in my book. But all right, I mentioned it. Let's get to your playoff standings, playoff positions. I say playoffs, but I don't know. I'm just calling that this right now. Like I said, the Diet Root Beer is kind of taking hold. In the AFC, the inferior conference, the Tennessee Titans, with a win next week again over the Houston Texans, secure the number one seed, the only first-round bye in the AFC, and the playoffs will run through Nashville. But they are 11-5 with the one seed. They obviously hold the tiebreaker over the Chiefs, who are currently the two seed at 11-5 as well. The Cincinnati Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tennessee Titans, all three teams at the top, have all clinched their divisions. But the Bengals are 10-6. We will see what, you know, their season winds up finishing like. They have the Cleveland Browns next week, but they look on fire. They look like a team that's going to make some noise in the playoffs, like I said. So very excited to watch a great season for Zach Taylor's Bengals. I did not believe, and I was wrong, clearly. The Buffalo Bills are the four seed in the AFC. They are the only team that has not clinched of the four division leaders, not clinched their respective division. They can obviously do it with a win next week. So the Bills, 10-6, they will face the New York Jets next week. The Patriots are the five seed with a 10-6 record as well. They've got the Dolphins to wrap things up. Meanwhile, the Indianapolis Colts hold the second wild card with a 9-7 win. 9-7 win, goodness. 9-7 record. And currently, the Los Angeles Chargers and Las Vegas Raiders are tied for that final wild card spot at 7-8, both with a 9-7 record. And they happen to play each other in the regular season finale. Now, that game, the Chargers-Raiders game, was actually flexed to Sunday Night Football. The NFL has now announced their schedule for Week 18. So the game to end the regular season will in fact be Chargers and Raiders. Get ready for it. That is going to be in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. So it's some things have to happen, but in all likelihood, in most likelihoods, be a win and in, loser goes home game between the Chargers and the Raiders for the third wild card spot in the AFC. Meanwhile, the only other teams that have not been mathematically eliminated that are in the AFC playoff picture are the Baltimore Ravens, who currently sit at the 11th spot with an 8-8 record, and the Pittsburgh Steelers with a 7-7-1 record, but they obviously play the Cleveland Browns tonight. The Browns at 7-8, as mentioned, have already been mathematically eliminated from playoff contention. On the NFC side, we have three divisions clinched. The NFC North, Green Bay Packers, obviously the NFC South, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys. All three of those actually clinched prior to this week. So you've got the Rams currently sitting at the 2 seed. In fact, let's start at the top. The Packers already clinched number 1, 13-3, perfect, 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 blah, blah, blah. The Rams currently win a tiebreaker with the Buccaneers based on beating them earlier in the season. That's why, even though they're both 12-4, the Rams and Buccaneers, at the 2 and 3 spots, the Rams have the 2 spot, the Bucks have the 3 spot. In order for the Buccaneers to be the 2 seed, they would need the Rams to lose to the 49ers in week 18 and to win themselves against the Carolina Panthers. That's not inconceivable, given that the Rams already lost to the Niners this season. But the Dallas Cowboys are fairly entrenched in the 4 spot in the NFC after their loss to the Cardinals on Sunday. So Dallas at 11-5, in all likelihood going to be the fourth, obviously, division winner. The Arizona Cardinals, the aforementioned Cardinals, actually are the 5 seed with an 11-5 record, so the top wild card team. So it's very possible, actually, that in the wild card round, we see a rematch of this game that we just saw on Sunday between Dallas and Arizona. Meanwhile, the San Francisco 49ers, even though they have not clinched a playoff spot, currently do sit at the 6th spot because they are 9-7 along with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the Niners do win a tiebreaker over Philadelphia based on beating them earlier this season. The reason that the Eagles have clinched this spot already is because the only team trailing them, the New Orleans Saints, is a team that Philadelphia happened to beat earlier in the year. So Philly's 9-7, New Orleans is 8-8, even if they both wound up 9-7. Obviously, Philly would hold the tiebreaker. Other than that, that's it. There are only currently 8 teams in the mix in the NFC. You've got 6 spots that are secured and 1 spot that will be filled by the San Francisco 49ers or the New Orleans Saints. Sunday saw the Vikings, the Falcons, Washington all officially be eliminated from playoff contention in the NFC. Tough cookies for them. Imagine not going to the playoffs. I could not. I mentioned that the Chargers and the Raiders will play on Sunday Night Football next week, but we will actually have 2 Saturday games next week. In fact, the first one will be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Denver Broncos. That game will be taking place in the 3 o'clock window, 3:30 to be specific. Meanwhile, we do have a Saturday night game. The Dallas Cowboys will visit the Philadelphia Eagles for a nightcap, but it's a little bit early. It's going to happen at 7:15 Central Time. So you've got Chiefs-Broncos to start your Saturday off. You've got Cowboys-Eagles to finish it off. And then you got Sunday red zone action, Chargers-Raiders, final game of the regular season, and then it's playoff time tonight. Monday Night Football, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. I was going to sing a song, but the root beer is starting to wear off. So that is it. That is everything that happened, I think. Basically, that's all the headlines. All right, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty later on today on Monday Football Monday. Myself, Pete Sweeney, it's a tough day at the office when the Cowboys lose, when the Chiefs lose. So Pete and I, we're going to be pretty sad. So you better show up and you better make us feel good. All right, my name is RJ Ochoa. I cover the Dallas Cowboys for SB Nation. BloggingTheBoys.com. I am on Twitter and Instagram at RJ Ochoa. That's RJOCHOA. If email is more your speed, hey, you know, I'm down. RJ.Ochoa@SBNation.com. We have 1 week and 1 game left. That is 17 games left. We have just finished week 17, basically, in the NFL. 17 is 1-7. 1 + 7 = 8. 8 in Spanish is Ocho. And I am your Ocho, baby. Ochoa. RJ Ochoa, over and out. One love. Happy New Year, baby. We'll see you next week.